Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Jesus said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, and from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And so you are justified when you speak and upright in your judgment. Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb. For behold, you look for truth deep within me, and will make me understand wisdom secretly. Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed. Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who lose their life, who love their life, lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world.
Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is a startling idea if we take it seriously. It might make us think about some admirable heroes of the faith, saints and martyrs who managed to live simply and to devote themselves entirely to God. A monk in the Egyptian desert, perhaps, or Mother Teresa, or someone like Father Damien, who cared for the lepers on Molokai until he himself contracted Hansen's disease and ultimately died from it. And yet, when we think of those examples, they may not feel like examples that we know how to follow in our everyday lives. Worse yet, some people who do try to take this admonition seriously become nags and killjoys, people who are so focused on being good and avoiding all worldly temptation that they take no pleasure in life, and they don't want you to take pleasure in it either. There are countless caricatures in pop culture depicting Christians who get all hot and bothered about so-called sins like dancing and drinking and playing cards, but who don't notice their own greed, racism, homophobia, and the like, real sins that cause actual harm to other human beings and the earth. Many Episcopalians, of course, take great pride in saying that we're not like those Christians, that we appreciate the beauty of creation, rejoice in how God's glory is made manifest in the world, and are open to partaking of a good glass of wine or a nice single malt now and then. During Lent, we give up chocolate or some other favorite indulgence, but overall, we're much less prone to asceticism than some of our other Christian siblings. Still, it's not like we can just ignore how frequently Jesus talks about giving things up, letting go of earthly attachments, even giving away our possessions. In today's gospel, he goes so far as to say we should hate our life in this world. So which is it? Is life in this world a precious and wondrous gift, or something to be despised in exchange for eternal life? There are three things that help me strongly affirm the gospel understanding of life as gift and this world as beloved by God. First, we should note that the world, that phrase in John's gospel, doesn't mean the natural world or all of creation. The world can more accurately be thought of as the corrupt systems and powers that control so much of life and distort God's good purposes. We might call this empire or the system. But whatever we call it, it is unjust and works against human flourishing and the creation of beloved community. So when the Gospel of John talks about hating the world, it is saying something like the promise we make in baptism to renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. Second, it helps me when I think more carefully about that metaphor that Jesus offers us of the grain of wheat that dies so that it may bear much fruit. You all know that I'm not a botanist, but I believe that when a seed germinates underground, there is usually a husk or coating that must break open and be left behind to make room for new growth. Life in Christ is remarkably like that. There are aspects of our worldly life that need to be shed and left behind so that we can become the unique persons God created us to be. This is not about self-hatred, but about the necessity of change, growth, and non-attachment to the status quo. And finally, there is my own experience of the world as an infinitely beautiful, infinitely precious place. When I wish to see Jesus, I need look no farther than the faces of my children or the wonder of a redwood tree. I know that all of you have those experiences too. Moments that take your breath away with their sweetness and wonder. These moments are of God. They are holy. God does not hate the world God has made, and neither should we. Now, because today is St. Patrick's Day, I really feel that I must share one of the ways that Celtic spirituality might help us think through this apparent paradox we're facing today. When the early Celtic Christians went on a pilgrimage, they didn't do what we might imagine, drawing up plans for how to get to Jerusalem and back. Instead, they built something called a coracle or a curragh, a very simple, small, round boat without oars. Priest and author Mary Earle writes, "In Celtic practice, you got into the boat and entrusted yourself to currents of love, which meant the currents of the sea or a river. You got into the boat and let go. You got into the boat and you physically cast yourself on the mercy and love of God." For these people, pilgrimage was a radical act of letting go, of dying to all their expectations of comfort or control. They placed themselves entirely in the hands of God and of what they saw as a loving, benevolent, natural world. Wherever they landed was where they were meant to be. And they called their landing place the place of resurrection. Now, in reality, they were likely to die there. Their boats without oars couldn't send them back to where they started. But in their way of seeing the world, death was just the doorway to new life, and the entire created universe is good and holy. As Earle says, we live in this world not of our own making. We are here for numbered days, and we are here both to bless and to enjoy the world God created. Our earthly life truly is transitory, and it is a gift. So maybe today, Jesus is calling us to live our life as that kind of pilgrimage, a pilgrimage of radical, fearless faith, and of living fully in the present moment, trusting that God will carry us home. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
Creator Lord, you have given us eyes to see ourselves as we truly are, and the heart to accept your free gift of grace. Fill us now with the courage to step forward in faith, to repent of our sins, and to turn the life we have been given to your guidance and your service. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, impel the political leaders in our world, in our nation, and in our community to rally to your call and forsake the temptations and vanity of power, and to govern with integrity, equity, and truth. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, fortify and energize all who are anointed to bring us your word and sacraments. As they shepherd us in faith, we walk together toward wholeness in you. We pray especially for our Bishop Megan, our Rector Pamela, our clergy, our staff, and all the lay leaders of this church. O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, sustain the faith and dispel the despair of all who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and of all who attend to their needs. We now join our voices to pray for all those in need, and especially those on our parish prayer list.
We pray for peace in all areas of the world experiencing armed conflict, especially Gaza and Ukraine. We pray for our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, for Vivian R., Ellen and Tom M., Anthony C., Michael L., Garda J., Carol G., Mary H., James and Kathy W., David S., Susan and Jim W., the Reverend Mac Olson, Chemo and Deb K., and Lenine B. I invite you to add your own prayers at this time, either silently or aloud.
O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
Creator Lord, lift us from our grief into the hope of eternal life and joy, reunited with all who now live again in glory with you.
We pray for the repose of the souls of Minnie Chapman, the Reverend Mary Fisher, and the Reverend Canon Kent McNair, and for their families and friends who mourn.
O God of mercy,
we now confess and begin again.
O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection, Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. It's so nice to see you all here. We have a lot going on during this announcement time because I have to read a pastoral letter from Bishop Megan. So before I do that, I just want to remind everyone about the yellow sheet that has most of the most urgent announcements on it. There are more announcements and more explanation of things on our website. And I do especially want to draw your attention to next week. On Friday, the 22nd, we have a memorial service. All the information is in there. It's for Frank Brown. It's at 11 o'clock. Frank Snow, I'm so sorry. It's at 11 o'clock. And I also want to make sure that you know that next week, after this service, there will be some fun things to do. Palm Sunday is a complicated day. It's fun in some ways and not at all fun in other ways. But we do have the donkeys coming again, and we do have activities after church so that we will be ready for our Easter egg hunt on Easter Sunday. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm rushing through those, but I do have to read this letter about this Fearless Faith Revival. You have a little... I'm sorry? I do have to read the letter. I get to read the letter. I see. Yes, thank you, Mr. Senior Warden. I am pleased to read the letter that follows. Dear brothers and sisters of the Diocese of Northern California, greetings on this fifth Sunday in Lent. We are 1 week away from Palm Sunday, then on to Holy Week and Easter Sunday. Looking ahead to the season of Eastertide, I invite you to join in our upcoming Fearless Faith Revival. On Saturday, April 27th, we will gather at the beautiful campus of St. John's Church in Roseville for an afternoon and evening of learning, sharing, fellowship, and worship. My friends, as a people of faith, we are in need of revival. In a time of wars, political tensions, economic struggles, and destructive weather, we have been tested and tried. Jesus himself took time from the demands of his ministry to connect with his Father and recharge his spirits. This is our time to gather together, to worship, break bread, to pray, and to strengthen the bonds which make us a people of God. The highlight of our revival will be the worship service, featuring music, prayers, and preaching by our special guest, Bishop Daniel Gutierrez of the Diocese of Pennsylvania. This energetic, spirit-filled event will end with a call to prayer and service. You will not want to miss this. The Fearless Faith Revival will bring friends and colleagues from around the diocese to hear from beloved speakers working in the Episcopal Church and to recharge our batteries. It will bring us closer to what God calls us to do in the church. We will be planting love, harvesting hope, and walking away with a fearless faith, ready to share the love and passion for our Lord Jesus Christ with our communities. In addition, we are hosting workshops taught by leaders from around the country on creation care, evangelism, racial reconciliation, community involvement, and meeting the needs of different generations of faith seekers. The Revival Festival will feature ministry partners, exhibitors, vendors, and popular local food trucks. We will have prayer stations, contemplative spaces, and an outdoor labyrinth where you can walk prayerfully. And there will be a special area for kid-friendly activities. All activities at the revival will be free. As you know, our diocese gathers in person each fall for our annual convention. An important part of convention is the opportunity to join in lunch or occasionally a special dinner for delegates and clergy. This year, however, our convention will be held entirely online. As a result, the Fearless Faith Revival will be the only day we will gather in person as a diocese. My friends, hosting this revival is a huge undertaking of dedicated staff and volunteers from the entire diocese. It requires a significant investment of time and money. While much of the funds have been allocated by the Board of Trustees, there is still a need to defray the costs. One way that we hope to defray these expenses is a special dinner on the eve of the revival. On Friday, April 26, we will host a Fearless Feast fundraising dinner at Trinity Cathedral, featuring locally sourced foods and beverages. This event will provide a unique opportunity to meet and mingle with leaders from across the country. I realize the cost to attend may be a burden for many, but all may gather to eat together at the Revival Festival the next day. If you cannot join us for the Fearless Feast, please consider making a gift to help underwrite this milestone event. I believe that God has brought us as a diocese to this moment, and that God is now calling us to an experience of his renewal as a community. I urge you to send as many congregants as you can to join with me in responding to God's action among us. We will find our thinking deepened in the workshops, our fellowship revived, and our spirits warmed and encouraged. I am convinced that it is only from that place of praise and presence that we can begin to move outward to a whole community engagement to spread the good news. In joyous anticipation, Bishop Megan. So you have an insert about the revival. You also, I think, received an insert about the Seeds of Justice reading and reflection group. So you have all that information with you. Are there celebrations and milestones? Technical difficulties.
All right, now the deacon has mastered, I think, her microphone for the moment. So Stan Forbes is celebrating a birthday this week. Looks like some other stuff too.
Yeah, I'll get to those in just a second. So Stan Forbes.
I heard a rumor about Kathleen Dolan possibly celebrating
birthday. Kathleen Dolan might possibly be celebrating a birthday. Her mother can confirm that, yes.
Her mother has confirmed that rumor. So happy birthday to her as well. Kimo and Deb Kimokeo celebrated their 44th wedding anniversary this week. And who had a 30th? Is it Lisa Lee?
Lisa Lee and Tom Lee.
So celebrated or are celebrating. I don't remember the tense from the earlier service, but they have an anniversary as well.
Are there other celebrations and milestones we want to share? No. Are there people who are visiting us for the first time today? That's what I was being flagged down about in the back, because I do tend to forget this, to be fair. We have goodie bags that we offer. We don't make you stand up and introduce yourself or do anything embarrassing and un-Anglican like that. But if you raise your hand, you'll get a goodie bag. And this doesn't have to be your first time here, just somebody who hasn't received a bag in the past. Thank you. I will be up here for communion. I think most of you know our routine by now, but just to quickly go over it again, you come down the middle aisle and then choose which side based on how you wish to receive communion. On this side, you receive, I will be intincting the host, and that's that option. On this side, the host and the wine are separate, and you can receive one or both together. All are welcome to receive communion here at St. Martin's. If you cannot come forward for some reason, we will just let an usher know, and they will let us know so we can get communion to you. We also have gluten-free hosts available. And finally, you can come forward and cross your arms, which means you would not like communion today, but you will receive a blessing. Walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home.
By your will, we were created and have been.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood, he reconciled us. By his wounds, we are healed.
And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, took the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.